Hey, folks, before we get started with the homemade broadcast this week, I just wanted to tell you quickly about NTT Fitness and NTTFitness.com. That is a full health mecca. I tell you what, located in Pinellas Park, you got group fitness classes, you got a gymnasium, you got people that will hold you accountable for your own fitness goals, and they have an excellent meal prep service. Now, I know you can cook your own food. I get it. You know how to do it. Wouldn't it be nice to have some variety, though, and it's delivered right to your door? You can get your entire Sunday back. You don't have to worry about it. It shows up on Sunday night, and then you just put it in the fridge, and you got food for the week. It is awesome. I've been using it for a few weeks, and I absolutely love it. I want you to try it out. Use code LEVELUP15. That's the homemade broadcast code at checkout, and you'll get 15% off your first order, NTTFitness.com. All right, let's start the show.
Beach, drive, drop, park, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Well, what do we have here, Margaret?
It's a tampon in a teacup.
I can see that. Now, what can you tell us about it? First of all, what kind of sculpture is this?
It's a found object. That's where an artist takes an ordinary object and places it in an artistic context, and thus it becomes art.
But what can you tell us about it in regard to your artistic intent?
Well, I guess I see the teacup as a symbol for womanhood, such as tea parties in the olden days. But instead of tea, I was trying to kind of confront people with this, like,
this shocking image of repressed femininity.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. Open 24-7, 365. Whenever you want, you can text, you can call into that number, you can leave any sort of message you want. Mean, nice, I don't care. That's what it's there for. You just want to vent? Go for it, man. Let's party. HMBradio.com is the website. If you head over there right now, you can read about an incident that took place at a WWE Next event earlier in the week in Largo. There was, I guess, the WWE NXT is this like minor league wrestling deal that they do. It's like just before they get the guys ready. It's like minor league baseball, but for WWE stuff. So just before they get to the big, you know, show, they practice there, and it's big, man. Some people, it seems like they even like it more than just regular WWE stuff, but there's this German wrestler that's there. I guess he's a bad guy, and some fella made an inappropriate gesture to him related to a 1940s political organization that originated in Germany, and since people are really very uber-sensitive right now, it was a big problem. So you can read about that. Go over to hmbradio.com/news, and you can get some reactions from people that were there. And, I already gave out the number. Let's talk real quick about, first let me say thank you very much to Truvy Salon and Spa, T-R-U-V as in victory, Y, salonandspa.com, 8908 4th Street North. Unit B right here in St. Petersburg. Get your hair done. Get your nails did. Look good. Feel good. Truvy Salon and Spa.com. Thank you, Chrissy Parker, for sponsoring this podcast. I really appreciate it. Make sure you support those who support us, because God bless them. I thank them so much for doing that. All right. So, Best of the Bay. Creative Loafing, Best of the Bay is happening. Voting started. And I just want to say, I'm not going to ask you to vote for me, because it's a waste of time. I'm not going to win. I know that already. I don't really care, because it doesn't mean much. It means you got your friends, you annoyed your friends enough that they voted for you, or you're already a notable person in Tampa Bay. I'm on the radio 1 hour a night, late at night, at midnight. Nobody knows who I am. Nobody cares. And the categories that I'm up for, I'm just not in the wheelhouse. There's people that have more followers on social media. They have, they've been around much longer, and people know who they are, and they're going to win. That's fine, by the way. Don't have a problem with that. That's the way it goes. That's reality. So I'm not going to tell you to go vote for HMB Radio. I don't know if it's for Best Podcast or Best Internet Radio Show, but it's one of those. But it is available. I know Radio St. Pete is up for some things. I'm up for Best Upcoming Radio Personality. By the way, I'm going to throw this out there. I got the votes of Galvin and Mike Calta from the Mike Calta Show. That means more to me than actually winning the award, to be quite frank. That feels good. But I know that Anna Hummel, my partner that I do the late night show with, is really wanting to win that. So if you're going to vote, vote for her. That's what I encourage you to do. It would mean so much more to her than me. Because, like I said, it doesn't matter. It's nonsense. There's no gatekeeping with this Best of the Bay. They only do, the Creative Loafing does the Best of the Bay because it makes them a good amount of money. They don't do any sort of, they don't have the staff to do this thing right, to do it correctly. It's nonsense. It's anybody can nominate anybody for this event, no matter, you could nominate Will Koontz for Best Candlestick Maker in Tampa Bay, and my name would be in there. I've never made a candle in my life, ever. But my name would be there, and I could potentially win that if I bugged enough people. If I was nominated for Best Candlestick Maker, I would lobby for that very, very hard, but I'm not. Best Upcoming Radio Personality, that's an honor. Thank you to whoever nominated me for that. I appreciate it. In there with Anna Hummel, John Senning, Afternoon, he's going to win. He's going to win. He's got 7,000-something followers on Twitter. He wants it. You know, he's on in the afternoons. People actually hear his show. People care about him. He's going to win. That's fine. That's the way it goes. He didn't get the endorsement of Mike Calta and Galvin, mind you. But, hey, that's not how it goes. And I probably sound like I care. I don't. I swear. I don't really care. Because it's nonsense. You can nominate anybody for anything, and that's what people did. I went over best radio personalities and half of them aren't on the radio. They are not part of an FM radio station. WMNF nominated all their people, but that's fine. They're on the radio, so that's fine. That's a legitimate nomination there. They're on an FM frequency that is broadcasted throughout Tampa Bay. But then you're looking at some of these people, I've never heard of them. You look them up, and then they host a podcast. Not hating on podcasts either, but you should be in the podcast category. And by the way, podcasters, if you're not doing an internet show, if you're not played on an internet radio station, you shouldn't be in Best Internet Radio Show. Because maybe you're just doing a podcast. This is a radio format. I know I'm being a stickler right now. But there has to be some sort of rules. Otherwise, this whole thing doesn't matter. Creative Loafing doesn't have the staff to go through these things. However, you look in Best Comedian category, and then it's got Jim Gaffigan. Love Jim Gaffigan. He's great. He's not from Tampa. Obviously, they mean people in Best of the Bay who are working in Tampa Bay. Jim Gaffigan What the hell? Eddie Murphy? Eddie Murphy's great. Love Eddie Murphy. Shouldn't be in Best of the Bay for Best Comedian. What are you guys doing? There should be some sort of gatekeeping. Like, what, you should have to put, like, your name and then, like, what station you're on, for example, for, like, radio station stuff. You have to be on an actual radio station. If I wasn't on the radio and I nominated myself for Best Radio Personality and it's for Radio St. Pete, no, you can't do that. That's insane. That's chaos. That's anarchy. It doesn't work. And then you could just beg, annoy your friends. Please vote for me. Please do it. Oh, my God. I watched Catherine Maloney do it all last year on Facebook. Oh, please vote for me. She made shirts. She made all this gear. She probably spent $1,000 to get a certificate from some alt-weekly newspaper who's barely afloat at this point. It doesn't matter. They do it. I talked to the editor there one time about it. They hate it. They don't want to do it, but it makes them a good chunk of money because everybody's narcissists. And they want to be recognized. I understand. I'm a narcissist, and I want to be recognized. Of course. But there's ways of doing it where it can actually be more legit. This is just chaos. This is whatever. You guys take care of it. Some fool is going to, you know, buy $1,000 worth of advertising on Facebook. Some Russian going to buy a bunch of advertising, say, vote for my podcast for Best of the Bay. And nobody listens to it, but everybody's dumb and bored. And they're going to be scrolling through their feeds and this ad's going to pop up. Oh, I'm at work. I'm bored. What's this? Oh, I'll click on it and vote for you. I'll kill 42 seconds. I'm in. And they'll end up winning. Somebody doesn't deserve to win, more than likely. So it's either people who just lobby hard, or it's people who are already well-known in the area that's going to win. I'm not bitter. I'm not. I swear. It doesn't matter. I just want everybody to understand that if you want to take the time to do it, thank you. But it's fruitless. I'm not going to win. There's no way. Even with the high regard of Mike Calta and Galvin from the highest rating morning show in Tampa Bay. Still no chance for me. John Senning's going to win. And then some stupid podcast that I've never heard of will end up taking second place there or winning the best podcast or best internet show. Even though they're not an internet show, they're just a podcast. They'll end up winning. And Creative Loafing doesn't care. They just print the certificates and that's it. 813-693-2124. HMBRadio.com is the website. CLTampa.com is the website for Creative Loafing Tampa for your voting needs for Best of the Bay. So I don't know how often you walk down Central Avenue in St. Petersburg here, but I saw these little crappy pieces of ass cage things with a handwritten note in the background that just said Trump Child Care with a plastic baby in it. And I went, what the hell is this? And then it turns out, I saw today an article was written about it. This is the work of a local artist, Victoria Jorgensen. And I looked her up because I'd never met her. I know a lot of artists down here. Some boomer, some old boomer. Now, art is supposed to be reflective and commentary on today's society. So that the sentiment alone of this art doesn't bother me. I think it's probably misguided and maybe wrong. But I get the sentiment. I'm okay with that. I'm okay for exploring those tough issues that we're dealing with. That's what art does. However, what really pissed me off about this was how crappy it is. Art also has to be aesthetically pleasing. You can't just make a stupid, crappy cage out of chicken wire. It looks bobo as hell. That's what really irritated me. I love art. I wanted to be an artist at one point. I was painting down here. And I actually took time with this stuff. This lady literally made a cube with a handwritten note. Don't you have, and I was going to say, don't you have access to Photoshop or something where you can make something, put a picture of children in the cages at least? She has literally written just ice, ice baby and Trump daycare in a big marker with a yellow sheet on it. It sucks. It sucks. And it was more irritating to me, just the aesthetic of it. It's bad. It took about 2 seconds to put together. It has no aesthetic value to it whatsoever. That's what irritated me the most about this thing. What are you doing? Can you at least print out the pictures of the kids in the actual cages and put it in the background or something? It's Bobo as hell. You got to check it out. If you go to hmbradio.com, it's going to be I'm going to use it as the header for the podcast this week, because you really have to get a visual on this in order to understand how crappy this art actually is. And I'm not surprised, because some boomer did it and she has a lot of time on her hands, but it looks like she spent no time at all on this thing. It's really bad. So check out hmbradio.com. It'll be the header for this week's podcast. And I'll probably put it on Twitter and Instagram as well. If you want to follow me over there, home_made_man. Modern art is dead. It died in 1917 when Marcel Duchamp, in protest, I think he got some work stolen from him, or he was doing commentary about the scene itself, but he took a urinal, and autographed it, our mutt, and put it in an art show. And it's like one of these revolutionary pieces. But that really just sums up what modern art is. The tampon and the teacup. Some not well thought through idea that's just an emotional plea. And then, like I said, if you're going to do it, okay with the sentiment, but at least make it good. Because this sucks. Check it out. hmbradio.com and home_made_man.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by Sumi Fink Real Estate with Charles Rutenberg Realty. Sumi Fink can be reached at 727-488-3729. And you can find her on Facebook at Sumi, S-U-M-I, Fink, F-I-N-K, Real Estate. Just hit that, hit the like button if you're in the market for a new home here in the Tampa Bay area. Sumi can definitely do that for you. She helped me find my apartment. Whether you're going to rent, buy, sell, Sumi is where to go for that, because she can help you. Again, her phone number is 727-488-3729. So this week on bedtime, card time, this week again it was bedtime, I had to go to a funeral this week. My grandfather passed away. It's okay. Thank you for your regard. I'm sure you're saying, that's because that's what you do. So I went to the funeral, and it was a little awkward, a little weird, but we got through it. So let's listen to this clip of me talking about my grandfather's funeral on bedtime right here on the Homemade Broadcast. I had to go to my grandfather's funeral. My dad's dad died. He was 92, and it's okay. What do people say as soon as you tell them so-and-so died? And they go, oh my God, I'm sorry. And for certain ones, yes. Well, no, for all of them, yes, thank you. But he was 93 years old. I'm relieved for him. It was a good thing. He's been gone for 15 years. He had a stroke, and he never really was the same. So he was around, but I haven't really seen him for almost 15 years. You see him, but he's not there. You know, he used to try. He had a stroke 15 years ago, and he was like Ozzy Osbourne after. He just kind of would putz around, and you couldn't really understand him, but he would try to talk. And then I think he got to the point where he got so discouraged that he just gave up because we couldn't understand him. And it must have been so frustrating for him, because he was a funny guy. He liked to joke around. He liked to talk, and he couldn't do it anymore. And he was just locked in this piece of crap body that no longer served him. What a nightmare that must have been. I felt so bad for him. So I'm relieved he's got his freedom. That was nice. God, he had this heart attack too. Like, I don't know, geez. 7 years ago, and then forget it. Giant toddler. After that, then he was really gone. And my grandma, bless her heart, should have let him go then. But she couldn't do it.
She brought him back. She did CPR on him, brought him back. So she could... My theory is so that she could keep his pension checks that were coming in. They love each other, obviously. But you learn stuff when somebody dies. You kind of learn the things that may have been kind of pushed on the back burner when they were alive out of respect. My grandfather liked the ladies, I learned. Perhaps wasn't always faithful to grandma growing up. Or, you know, in their marriage, at least earlier on. So, yeah, you learn that stuff. I learned my grandmother was a welder. I go, Grandma, you were a welder? And she goes, yeah. And I went, why didn't you ever tell me that? And she went, I don't know. I was a spot welder. I don't know what that is, but it's a welder. That's cool. Was it during the war? Conversation. And she came, she's old now too. She's in good shape, but she's, you know, 90. She brought her boyfriend to the wedding. Grandma's got a boyfriend. She was nervous to tell us about. Because she met this guy whose wife was in the same facility my granddad was. His wife ended up passing away, and they kind of bonded over this whole thing. But then you learn, you know, grandpa wasn't faithful. So why do you need to be? And you're 90. You're not getting it on, I don't think. God, what a nightmare to think about. But no, you know, it's cool. I like the guy. Seems like he's well off, which is good. He can kind of take care of her because now you don't have those pension checks coming in. That's going to be a shock to the system. His granddad worked for Honeywell. He was an engineer, electrical engineer. Smart guy. Didn't get his IQ. Thought I got his sense of humor. But I didn't get his IQ. I don't know which one's better. Probably the IQ. I probably could be making more money right now. But I had to go to the service. I don't know. Like, they didn't do a wake or anything like that, so you don't have to see him. That's a really weird part of the celebration of life, is the wake. I don't like those. I don't think anybody likes those. I don't know why they even bother doing those. Thank God we didn't do those. We didn't do that for Grandpa. Grandpa was cremated. I don't even think his ashes were on site at the service, the memorial of life celebration. We went to his church in Dunedin. I like the idea of church. Also, churches creep me the hell out whenever I go in there. There's something about them. I don't know. I'm not opposed to the idea that there's a higher power out there, but I know it's none of the things that we think it is, that these religions are talking about. I'm almost positive of that. So they had some of their, you know, friends that are at the church come, and then some family showed up. That's a good thing, too, about those things, is it's an opportunity for family to get together. I don't see these people, ever. I saw my cousins from Georgia came down, some from Ohio, that I haven't seen in years. Why not? Well, it has to be a major life event in order for people to pick up and leave. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to go visit. I can't. I got too much going on here right now. I can't leave. But that's a good thing about it. You get to hang out with your cousins a little bit. And church. I like the idea of church. I think if I ever do get married or something and have children, I think I want to go to church if I can get over the creepiness factor of church. I like the community aspect of it. I like that there's like people you can kind of rely on. It's a tribe. You get yourself a little tribe. And you kind of help each other out. You know, you got the kids. Oh, I'll pick the kids up Mondays from school. You get them Tuesdays. You get them Wednesdays. Makes life easier on you when you got people you can kind of rely on like that. But then if they're super into it, to the religion aspect of it, it's going to be weird. Have to show up on Sunday. Sneak in a Bluetooth so I can listen to football games while I'm there, acting like I'm paying attention. That's going to be a lot of work. And the lady did a fine job. It was a lady pastor and an older gal. And she told this really hokey joke that my grandfather told, which I'm going to tell you now. As we said, Grandpa loved the ladies. And she told this story about this necklace that she received from a daughter, from her daughter, after her daughter went on vacation. And it was a carved out of bone bear necklace. So there were little bears on it. I'm assuming it's somewhere up in, you know, Canada or Pacific Northwest somewhere. It's carved out of bone, little bears on it. A cool necklace. And my grandfather went up to her and said, "Oh my God, I love that necklace. I've always wanted to hug your bear chest." Great stuff. Great stuff there. That's a classic granddad joke. really good stuff. So yeah, you heard, I learned a lot over the weekend. I got to hang out with family over this thing. My dad wrote a really sweet goodbye on Facebook. Didn't read it at the ceremony, which, you know, public speaking is not his thing. I get it, but I don't know. You could have just read that. It's not like you have to give a speech. I guess it is a speech, but it's already pre, you know, you already did it. Could have read it. Grandma wanted him to. He opted not to do that, but she read it, and it was nice. It was very sweet. That was the only time I got a little bit choked up, because that's what you think about. Oh, God, my dad's going to die now, too. Hopefully not for, hopefully he lived to 93 and his body won't, you know, be terrible the last 15 years of that. That's what you think about and you start to tear up a little bit. And they had this lady with this really cheap speaker thing. This little, you know, what do you call those? Like a karaoke machine type thing. She sung a hymn from the book that was one of the favorites of the church. And, you know, you, you know, you kind of just respectfully bow your head and get through that. And then Grandma at the end, it's another lady that comes up and sings. She's like the singer for the church. And at the end, Grandma requested Wind Beneath My Wings by Bette Midler. Challenging tune there. Challenging tune. And it was so bad. This lady was so bad. Bless her heart. But man, I started laughing. I didn't know what to do. And I had to do the I'm crying thing. Like put my hands over my face. And just kind of had to really concentrate not to laugh. Me and my dad were talking about it afterwards. And he's like, thank God you didn't. Because I would have started laughing too. So bad. That's a challenging tune, though, you know. What can you do? But anyway, Frank Kuntz, Godspeed to you. It was fun. Thanks for playing Monster with me as a kid, playing basketball with me, teaching me about fashion sense. You'll be missed, even though I know I feel like I lost you a long time ago, but, you know, now it's like official in the books. So, I hope you liked me, and I'll talk to the rest of you in a second.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioCP.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by Homemade Podcasts. Homemade Podcasts with an S.com. That is my media consulting little side gig that I'm trying to do here. If you're interested in podcasting but don't know how to begin, well, I can help you because I'm talking to you through that medium currently. It's fun. You'll like it. It's a cool hobby. You can get a hold of me at homemadepodcasts.com, 813-693-2124. Leave a message, and I will get back with you if you're interested in advertising on this show. And why wouldn't you be, frankly? I would love to have you. It's an affordable way to get your name out there or your business to people in the community, because I'm a member of the community. So 813-693-2124. Let's work together. That'd be cool, man. This week on Stay Woke. Stay Woke is a radio program I co-host with Anna Hummel. We do it at midnight, 102.5 The Bone FM here locally in Tampa Bay. It's actually on the radio, on the real FM radio. and we talk about stuff. And this week we talked about, well, there was more shootings this week. It's an epidemic, apparently, even though violence is going down. I know it doesn't seem that way, but I think the media does it on purpose. But anyway, we had two big shootings this week, and like 30-something people died between the two. Terrible tragedy, and we talked a little bit about that on Stay Woke. If you're not up at midnight, you can get the app, the 102.5 The Bone app, and you can get the Mike Calta Show, Roger and JP, Drew Garabo Live, Soul Brother Kevin, the Johnny B Show, all the way up to Stay Woke as a great lineup of some of the best talk radio, not only in Tampa Bay, but in the United States. Mike Calta is up for a Marconi Award, for God's sakes. So very exciting stuff. Happy to be on that station, be a part of that team. So make sure you get the app and check out Stay Woke and all the other Bone programming over there. And let's listen to this clip about the shootings that last week from Stay Woke.
So unfortunately, we had two major mass shootings this weekend, which is insane. Before I could even process the first one, another one happened. So there was one in El Paso, Texas. I believe 22 people, 22 fatalities. And then in Dayton, Ohio, I believe there were nine. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of strange because the first shooter's motives seem to be that of the far right.
Yep. You know?
He wrote an anti-immigration manifesto on like 4chan, 8chan, something like that, and decided to carry that out in a Walmart in El Paso, Texas. And then 13 hours later, apparently there was a crazy lefty who went to Dayton, Ohio. I believe it was like in a nightclub or a nightclub district, a downtown, and shot up and killed nine. Well, shot up like 16, I think, but killed nine people, mm-hmm. Including his own sister, I believe, passed away as well. So just absolutely atrocious. And of course, you know, we kind of go through the same rigmarole of gun control legislation. And what's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen. Buy more guns. And it is crazy because even yesterday I was talking to Will about this. I mean, I feel like I need to learn how to shoot a gun. You know, it's not – I'm thinking – I don't want to say I'm thinking more guns, but in terms of, like, my personal safety, like, I feel like I should be carrying now, or at least know how to operate a gun or have one in my house, because I'm scared to death now, you know?
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I think everybody should at least learn how to – learn how to, if they need to.
Right.
And these kids, like you said, one was one of these right-wing dudes, and one was a left-wing dude. And it was, if you look at these guys, this is probably going to piss somebody off, but they are weird white people. They yeah. look like that they're maybe on the spectrum a little bit, maybe.
Well, some spectrum.
They just had that look, you know what I mean?
Oh, I know. You don't have to explain to me.
They
all
look, they look alike. They look like they could be brothers, these kids. There's something going on there, and there's really a pushback against the notion that we have a mental illness problem in this country. Now they're saying, no, that a lot of people have mental illness and they don't go and kill people.
Which is true, but...
That is true, mm-hmm. but it is a common trait that mm-hmm. these people share. I'm wondering, I bet you these kids are on medication, too. For some sort of...
And then they went off of their medication?
I don't know.
This?
Maybe they went off medication or maybe the... See, the thing with the medications is that a side effect of these antidepressants, SSRIs, mm-hmm. is suicide and homicidal thoughts.
Ideation, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if these kids were or not, and I don't think they're going to, you know, release that to the press because it's medical information, but definitely wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. And there was a weird... This one was a little weird, too, this weekend, because usually it's Trump's rhetoric caused this, which there was
Better
that with
that.
The first one. Mm-hmm. But then when this lefty dude came out, kind of, it kind of was more moot about that point.
Absolutely.
And then it became about white people. I saw today, mm-hmm. it was the most cringeworthy video mm-hmm. I think I've ever seen.
I have it here.
And it was, they had a rally at... downtown St. Pete today. Mayor Castor was there. Mayor Kreisman was there. Charlie Crist was there. And you have it queued up.
I do. I'll play it right now.
It's really cringy, yeah.
It really is. Here it is.
We white people have a lot of work to do. We white people may have had a tinge of fear about coming out here tonight for fear of another shooting. But we have to remember and realize that black, brown, Muslim, Jewish, and LGBTQ people live with this fear every day of our lives. They are the ones with targets on their foreheads. While it's my privilege that allows me to come out here to feel better about myself.
Self-loathing piece
that
of ass.
Is, it is
who is
so,
that? Who's
I
that?
Have no idea. I would love to know who that was. Because this isn't just a... This wasn't just like a rally that was put together. Like, this was the mayors were there. This is like a mainstream.
Who's Charlie Crist?
Charlie Crist is a congressperson.
Okay, 44th governor of great state of Florida. That's not him talking?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't know. It might be. All right, I don't know.
Because those are the two people tagged as Kreisman and Charlie Crist.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it is. I couldn't make out who it was. It didn't really sound like his voice.
White people.
But that, and that's what it became. Now this is a white thing because both of these shooters were white.
Yeah.
It's very, and you talk about divisive rhetoric, right?
Jesus,
like Trump gets busted about his rhetoric all the time. Mm-hmm. That, and then they'll say stuff like that with no sense of irony whatsoever. They just throw that out there.
Again, because you can't punch down, but you can punch up. And apparently you can punch up into your own face because this
face.
Is a white guy saying that white men need to get it together. No, it's a people human problem. And there are black mass shooters. No one reports on those, by the way. You know, people get shot up in Chicago, Detroit, and kill multiple people, but nobody
Asian
cares about that.
There was an Asian dude at Virginia Tech. I mean, there's been lots of
There's no color, and everybody has their own sort of motive, whether it's political, whether it's racial, whether they're just insane, whether a lot of it is like the involuntary celibate sort of thing, where I think that was kind of like, I heard something today, but I may have just imagined it, you know, because so many things kind of bleed together. But I think that someone said that the Dayton dude, was having some issues with women. And it was like kind of him lashing out against that he wasn't getting laid or something. Because I know that was an issue for the guy that shot up UC Santa Barbara, which is my alma mater.
I almost wonder, too, if it's the rhetoric like this that drives these people nuts too. Where it's weird because like that type of stuff where you're just like, white people.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of Original Sin. That you have this, you know what Original Sin is? It's
like
the,
why you have to get baptized, right?
It's but it's basically that
born
we ate
evil.
From the tree of knowledge.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve did, and we were cursed with this. It's the original sin.
Can you define it? Let me look it up.
It was
what it means.
Adam
I know
Eve
what you're
were,
referring to.
We're in the garden.
Like we're greedy.
It's just like we learned what being human was, I guess, instead of just being pets, kind of God, right?
The sin of disobedience and consuming the forbidden fruit from the tree.
Yeah.
It's just called ancestral sin. It's kind of vague, actually.
But so everybody's got to deal with this original sin here on the planet. And that kind of rhetoric that dude was saying reminds me of that. Like, it reminded me of church. Like, you have to have this belief. Mm-hmm. And it's just so mainstream now, too. It's so... So strange.
That is really, really,
really
bizarre. And to blame yourself for being... You had nothing to do with this.
Right.
You had nothing to do with this. Because you're white, because you're male, you didn't do anything bad.
And there's...
You know?
It's a lot in the culture, too. There's a lot of demonizing white
like self-hate,
men in particular.
Self-loathing.
Mostly by white people.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I would say all by white. I don't know any brown people or black people who are like, I'm horrible, blah, blah, blah. No, it's all white people. You had nothing. White people had nothing to do with this. It was a person that happened to be white.
Yeah,
there's no Venn diagram where there's a crossover.
Right. So, I mean, the majority of mass shooters are white men. That's true. But also...
There's more white people in the population.
There you go.
It's a numbers
Boom.
Game, man.
Yeah.
It's a numbers game. I've been kind of toying with this idea as well, and I know I've talked about this before over and over and over again, but I feel like I was mulling it out today, and I don't know if it would actually kind of follow through, but the releasing of the names of people and the pictures of people that commit these crimes, these mass shootings, I feel like is only glorifying them to the point where they feel significant, that they matter, and especially when it comes to like the involuntary celibate sort of thing. Like with the guy, the Parkland kid that shot up the 17 kids in Parkland. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that he definitely had issues with women and not getting laid. And now he's getting hundreds of love letters from women all over the nation and possibly the globe of women who, you know, they're also screwed up in the head. I'm sure they're a bunch of weird, Mm-hmm. I don't want to take any guesses, but probably a bunch of weird white people. Mm-hmm. And they're, like, falling in love with this guy who they think is, like, a total badass because they have something, you know, this a mechanism in their brain that kind of got hijacked, and then they're attracted to the wrong kind of bad boy, you know, someone who's a murderer. But even, what was his name? What was the mass murderer? Charles Manson? Charles Manson. Mm-hmm. Charles Manson was getting love letters in prison.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's married. This happens all the time.
Yeah.
So if these guys commit these crimes and they're probably applauded, they're probably martyrs within their own communities, obviously, who are a bunch of maybe white supremacists or whatnot, you know, on 4chan, 8chan, whatever, and then they're getting love letters, and then they're ruining people's lives when they felt that they didn't matter, that they impacted no one and no one noticed them, now they're impacting other people. I feel like we're giving them the glory. We're giving them the prize that they're after.
Yeah, I mean, there is something to be said for that. These are covered extensively. We're talking about it now. And then I think these kids or dudes or whatever are probably suicidal and they want to do the most damage possible. The kid in California at the garlic festival, somebody said, "Why are you doing this?" And he said, "Because I'm angry." So there wasn't
really.
That
was asked during the shooting?
That's what he yelled, that he was angry. So he didn't. There really wasn't a. And when you call it terrorism, like that's a big thing too. We need to call this terrorism. Yeah, I guess if it's done and for political reasons, then it is terrorism.
Yeah.
But it also could just be a lunatic. So let's.
Well, they're all lunatics.
Things. Sure.
Yeah.
But it might not be for political reasons.
Sure.
Like, I don't think the California kid was a terrorist. I think he was a lunatic.
Yeah. You can cause terror, but not be a classified terrorist.
We have to. Sure. Yeah, words mean stuff.
Right.
And we have
I got
to
you.
Come to agreement on definitions of things.
Yeah. I completely understand what you're saying. But I was kind of mulling over this today, and I was thinking if there was some sort of way that we could petition to not have their information. Exposed, right? So if you commit a mass crime and no one knows your name, no one sees your face, and we just call you the shooter, you're either at large or you're dead or you're detained by police, whatever it may be, is that a possibility to kind of take away part of the prize? No one knows you committed this crime. Are you that badass if nobody knows it was you? But then I feel like does that become slippery slope where you start filtering more information, not sharing with the public? Does that become problematic? And then what if this person survives and they go to trial? How do you kind of cover the trial if you can't show pictures of the court? If you can't expose the name, you can't talk about their family members. Like, it gets very convoluted. But I feel like if we could somehow strip that prize from people where we say, listen, if you commit a mass shooting, which by definition is four people or more, then your name will not be posted. Your photo will not be shared. No one will know anything about you. I don't want to know your gender. I don't want to know your race. I don't want to know your age, your name. I don't want to know what you look like. Nothing. All I need to know is if you're dead or you are alive, and that is all.
Yeah.
But then it kind of gets a little sticky when you kind of think about it. All right, they live, then they go to trial. Do we keep this information from the people? I don't know. And I'm not one for saying the government should be kind of manipulating what the people are exposed to, but then I feel like in this case, it might help a little. I don't know.
It could.
You know?
It would just be so hard to keep that under wraps with Twitter and everything. Like,
yeah.
People know who these people are within minutes. Most
of
the time.
It's
already out there. So it would just be hard to
conceal
that.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. Stay woke, Midnight's 102.5 The Bone. Willing to take your thoughts on this stuff if you want to open that can of worms, 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com is the website. You can get a hold of me at home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter. If you'd like some HMB Radio stickers and magnets for free, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com, or just hit me up on the social media there. Send me your address, and I'll be happy to send some out to you. Make sure you periodically check out hmbradio.com for local news. News stories go up that we don't touch on the podcast, and I try to do that at least a few times a week. And there's actually an extra podcast that goes up available only at hmbradio.com and on iTunes and Stitcher. A nice short little one to end the week on Fridays. And yeah, it's good. I like it. I think it's all right. I think you'll enjoy it too, honestly, if you give it a try. So subscribe, for God's sakes, on iTunes and Stitcher. HM, like Mike, B, like Bravo, Radio, all one word. That should be enough to find it. Click the subscribe button. give it 5 stars. I'll tell you what, sharing it with a friend, if you like it, that's the best way to get the word out about it. Share it with a friend. Be like, hey, I like this guy. He's all right. He's on the radio at nights. Nobody hears him. Give him a chance on his podcast. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. Give me a shout. And if you're listening on Radio St. Pete, though, I want you to stay tuned because Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. And if you're listening on podcast, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you. I do. I'm not afraid to say it. I hope you have a good week. And I'll talk to you on Friday. My name is William Kuntz. This is HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Anna Hummel for Best Upcoming Radio Personality. Talk to you later. Goodbye.
Have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.